We are tickled to death to have DFW's own from Sherman, Texas. The Will Cain Show is in the house.
What's up, fellas?
How are you?
I'm really good. Really, really good.
I'm sitting inside, and all of a sudden he walks out of the room. I go, hey, what's going on? And then 5 minutes later, Clarence sends me a text. You know, we got Will Cain on. And I'm like, this is awesome.
You know what's wild to me? I'm walking through the hallways here, ESPN Dallas, and I recognize you. I recognize other guys. And it's weird to be recognized by people. And I'm not just blowing you up. I'm not just saying this.
Right.
Clarence texts me, says, let's get together, let's talk. To be recognized by people that you've been following your whole life. I swear it's no overstatement to say I've been a fan and keeping up with you guys and several others in these hallways for decades.
Yeah, it's you know what? It's,
you just called us old. That's what you know. I just got to know your whole life. I mean,
I can't slip one by you, Clarence. I can't slip one by you.
You just called us old.
You know what? Tell me, because I'm sure there's a lot of people that don't know. How did you get going with ESPN to begin with?
Oh, man, I don't want to dominate your airtime with that. I'll try to make it short. I mean, I've been through several different reinventions, Mark, and been through, I don't know, this and that. A couple years ago, 2014, I'd say, I was doing politics. I was at CNN. I did stuff at a place called The Blaze, which is run by Glenn Beck, which is now actually run out of Dallas. And I had met a couple guys at ESPN who are in the talent department, some guys who run radio. And I came in for a pilot with our man Tony Reality Host around the horn.
Oh, yeah.
And it didn't go anywhere, but it did start a conversation. And then a couple years later, as it's kind of boring in this business, but I had an agent who knew people at ESPN. They make introductions, and the ball started rolling. They said, you know what? This guy knows sports. First, they wanted to establish that. And once I told them that the first time I cried was 1981 when Dwight Clark caught it in the back of the end zone. He had stick-em on his hands. Everybody knows it to this day. He had stick-em on his hands. I've been a diehard, not just Dallas fan, but sports fan, and I could debate. They could see how I could debate and argue off what I was doing in politics. So, like, we could put that guy on First Take. We'll see what he does. And that's how it got started.
Well, I love what you do. You do a good job.
Thank you.
Keep kicking Stephen A's ass.
That's what he does. That's what he does. He fights Stephen A.
I'll put that on my resume. What do you do? Kick Stephen A's ass.
There you go. Fight Stephen A. Stephen, I got your back, dog. I got your back.
Nobody has been a bigger champion of mine than Stephen A, though. In all seriousness, everything you see on First Take is real. Every bit of emotion, every opinion, every back and forth is real. But that doesn't mean at the end of a big, long fight, argument, you can't dap each other up and say, I appreciate you, man. And he has given me every opportunity that I've had. I'm indebted to Stephen A. Smith.
He does seem like the kind of guy that if he's in your corner, he's going to go all the way with you.
I really like Stephen A. That is no lie. I like him. He's one of my favorite people in this business.
All right, so you're here once again for Texas Live. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that first?
We've done it several times this year. First Take will be live tomorrow morning from Texas Live. The show is 9 to 11 Central Time. You should come out. There'll be a huge crowd. I guarantee it. You can come. You can boo Stephen A. You can cheer me. I'll mix it up with you. I'm going to get out there in the crowd. And we're going to support the Cowboys. Look, I have, as you mentioned, Mark, and I appreciate it, I have my own show, The Will Cain Show, on ESPN Radio, and people accuse me all the time of being a homer. My prism on this is, let's start our relationship with honesty, okay? Most people BS you through this business and tell you they're objective. Nonsense, okay? You were born with some eyes. You have a prism. Mine is, I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm a Horns fan. You take that information and do with it what you will, okay? Then you can discount what I have to say. You can do whatever you want. But I am a homer. It is true. And tomorrow we will be fighting Stephen A, and on Saturday, we'll be whooping the Seahawks, hopefully.
Love it.
Well, and it works well because, you know, his claim to fame is anti-Cowboys, you're for Cowboys, and so it's
a
great.
Perfect mix.
It's a perfect mix, and it's going to start the conversation. I know that this is the fourth time First Take has been here for a Cowboys game.
America's team.
You know, so Cowboys sell for ESPN, they sell for First Take. I know it's going to be a packed house tomorrow.
It will be.
And Steve is going to play to the crowd. He's going to have his black cowboy hat on, and you're going to have a white cowboy hat
on. That's right. What do you think? That? Good guy, bad guy.
What black got to be bad?
You made a race. I didn't make a race. It was about a hat. I thought we were talking about hats.
I'm going to get us off the hat. Will Cain, tell us what the Cowboys have to do to win this game.
Listen, I heard you, Elf. I heard you, Clarence, talking about this. I told Clarence this earlier. Dak Prescott, to me, is a religious act, okay? I have faith. I want to believe this is a great guy. I believe, as you pointed out, he is a winner, that he wins. I also see, because I try to be objective, I see the flaws. I see the inconsistency. I see the inaccuracy. I see the missed throws. Now, to be fair, a lot of quarterbacks miss throws.
All quarterback missed throws.
And we talk about Dak's a little more, don't we?
Yes, we focus on Dak's
But if your reputation is going to be that you're a winner, and I'm buying in on it, right, that you have 14-game winning drives. Since 2016, only one quarterback has more wins than you, and that guy's name is Tom Brady. If you are in that class where we're going to define you as a winner, well, then you got to win when it matters. And that means beating the Seahawks. That means you got to win a playoff game or two. I believe he can. I think the Cowboys have the better defense, the better running game, the better offensive line. Will they have the better quarterback? I do not think they have the better coach. You have to overcome one or the other.
Really?
You have to have the best quarterback or the best coach.
Carroll's the better coach.
Yes.
Okay.
I thought I misheard you because I was going to say the one thing that Seattle has is the better quarterback and the better coach right now.
That's right.
Allegedly.
I think Dallas has the better team by far.
They have the better team. And again, Seattle is a different animal away from Seattle. They're 3-4 on the road. 3-4 on the road. This is not in Seattle with that fan and that crowd and all this stuff where they tee off on that stuff. They're in Dallas. The Cowboys have played better at home.
Well, their home crowd has actually became a home crowd.
They're 7-1.
I mean, Texas Stadium was a morgue forever, even when they were good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're 7-1 at home. Seattle's not as great on the road. Just do what you need to do and make the plays. Now, I tell you, Cowboy fans, you don't want it to be a close game and Russell Wilson with the ball at the end of the game.
No.
That's
no.
The thing, yeah.
You know what?
He pulls a rabbit out of his head, and with those receivers, and goodness gracious, they always seem to make plays when they need to.
And here's the funny thing. Maybe this is the perfect dramatic twist, but you think of another quarterback out there who's been doubted at times, who statistically perhaps hasn't always been in the same category as your Breeze and Brady and Rodgers, but who's been qualified as a winner. And that is Russell Wilson, just like Dak Prescott. And it's going to require Dak Prescott overcoming Russell Wilson for him to solidify this winner status.
Yeah, I think getting by this game is going to solidify a lot of things. It's going to solidify where Dak has been saying he is. It's going to solidify where the Cowboys offense believes they are and where they're going. And I think it also can solidify their defense. But you cannot let Seattle and Russell Wilson come in here after the way you've played the second half of the season and win at your stadium.
No,
can't let it happen.
There's no reason for that to happen. And you know, we coming into the season, Jason Garrett was on the hot seat. People were questioning Dak and his future and whether he was that guy. And even through the first 8 games, we were still questioning all of that. And they finished strong, and it looks good. But now is the time where your legacy and where you define who you are and what you are going forward.
Clarence, I still question it. If the Cowboys lose to the Seahawks, I still think there should be a coaching change. This is something that has to be done. This is a bar. This is the Dallas Cowboys we're talking about here. We're not the 8, and I know we have been for 2 decades here, but the 8-8 franchise of, no. I don't know, the AFC North. We have to have an expectation that you win a playoff game at a very minimum, and this team can at home against the Seahawks.
Right.
It's a failure to lose this game.
Yeah, and I've said it all along. You know, winning the NFC East title is not the goal here. It's never been the goal. They don't hang NFC East titles at AT&T Stadium, okay? And I would say they only hang Super Bowl titles, but they haven't done that at AT&T Stadium. That was the Texas Stadium.
Right.
But the premise is the same. You don't hang banners at any stadium in Dallas unless it's a Super Bowl-type banner. You don't hang division titles. So that's never the goal. So come in and finish it strong, win an NFC title, that's not good enough. They need to do something now.
What has surprised you the most about the Cowboys this year?
Well, the turnaround. After the Titans game, 3-5, I didn't think this could be done. And it was time at that moment. I still think it's time, honestly, Elf. But it was time, obviously, then to change the head coach. It was time to get rid of Jason Garrett. This what has it been? A 7-1 turnaround has been absolutely shocking to me. I thought this Cowboy team was good, and my friends and my colleagues mock me because my Super Bowl prediction was Cowboys Chargers.
Wow! Oh,
and
wow.
you can mock me about it, but here was my theory at the time: the whole league is zigging, right? But I'm gonna tell you what I mean by that. They're passing. They're doing Mahomes. They're doing Goff. They're doing McVay. They're doing Reed. They're passing the ball and trying to score a ton of points. The Cowboys are zagging. They're going to try to run the ball. They're going to try to play defense. They're going to give it to Zeke 25 times a game. They're going to play time of possession. I thought once you got to the playoffs, that zag could be interesting to the rest of the league's zig. Now, what's interesting is the playoffs are separated into those two groups. You've got the Ravens. You got the Cowboys. You got the Seahawks.
And the Bears.
You got the Bears.
Yeah.
And you could argue the Texans all subscribe
defense.
To defense and running game.
Yeah. Right.
And the other half of the league, the other half of the playoffs, are lighting it up on the scoreboard with traditional quarterbacks like Breeze, Brady, Rivers.
Right.
Mahomes.
Which philosophy wins out in this playoffs? I think the Cowboys are going to have a lot to say about that.
Although San Diego may be more of the zag, too. I mean, we see Rivers, but it's their running game. And
they're well-balanced.
Yeah, they're well-balanced.
They're really well-balanced.
Like, they're not throw conscious like the Chiefs and the Saints and those teams. And really, if you look at the Saints and where they've won, I mean, it's really been more about those running backs than Drew Brees, although he has this great—
80% completion will
help. Yeah, but it's the completion percentage, yeah. But not the yards, not the touchdowns. It's the completion percentage because of the running game and the style of play.
We gonna talk about Texas? Are we gonna talk about Uga and Bevo?
Oh,
we gotta
dude,
do this.
That was
Are
a
we
great,
out of time?
I got, no, no, we got time. We got 4 minutes. That was the greatest video I've ever seen in my life because you see Uga, and then all of a sudden Bevo just barrels through and nearly gores the damn bulldog. And I'm like, well, that's awesome. I thought that was the greatest thing in the world.
Oh, it set the tone. The little mangy mutt.
Hell yeah.
they put the mangy mutt out there in red. A red sweater in front of a bull. What do you think is going to happen? But it set the tone. I mean, I was hyped. I can never get enough of that video. I've been retweeting it and killing my friends in Atlanta and Georgia and about what's going on because— Again, we all thought, a lot of people thought, not necessarily us, but a lot of people thought Georgia was going to manhandle Texas.
Absolutely.
They should have been in the playoffs. Right. They was going to manhandle Texas and all this other stuff. And, you know, it was cute that Texas was there, but they're a four-loss team coming out of the soft Big 12. But Texas was more physical.
Beat them in every aspect.
They beat them in every aspect of the game.
It was
and
fantastic.
Bevo set the freaking tone. What's your take on Bevo?
I got three. Okay, all right. Yeah. I'm going to give you, first of all, I had a guy on my show today, Will Cain Show, Trevor Maddich, college football analyst. He said to me—
Oh, big lineman, yeah.
Yeah, he said to me, this is exactly what Bulldogs were bred for. People don't know that. They were built, they were bred, and their nose that way and everything to actually herd and bite bulls on the nose and try to turn them over. So Bevo knew what the hell was going on. And Bevo got him. And I'm with Clarence. I was so proud. That's number two. I've never seen that much life in Bevo.
Ever.
In all my decades of watching.
You're having drugged up and then sedate because I don't want him doing that.
And then here's my last thing. It's a question for you guys. I asked you earlier, Clarence. If Bevo succeeds, all right, if he gets that horn in, if he gores Uga, let's just say he picks his head up and that dog's hanging off one of those horns, they cancel the game?
Hell no.
I think the question is, do they
pull the bulldog off the horn?
They just go get them a little, a dustpan and pick Uga up and throw him in a trash can.
I'm afraid. I'm going to tell you this. Bevo made contact with a photographer, right? Pierce the skin, made contact.
Yeah, you know, it's from Austin American Statesman. He's been tweeting about that all day.
Yeah, and people, I'm going to tell you something. If he had made contact with Uga, there'd be a bigger freak out than hitting that photographer. People don't like dogs getting hurt.
Do you guys, I don't know if you remember this, years ago, I forgot the play-by-play guy for Georgia, but they had a game on TV, and they were showing Uga on the sidelines, and both guys were commenting, and as the camera closes in on Uga, Uga starts licking himself. And the guy says, boy, I wish I could do that. He goes, if you did, he'd bite your head off.
One quick football point on this.
Yeah.
And I think you're a fan. Right. I'm a fan. We have every expectation. Every Horn fan out there listening right now, you have every expectation now. College football playoffs at a minimum. And we should be approaching now Clemson, Alabama. All right. I'm not telling you they're there.
Stop, listen to me. I'm telling you
what our expectations should be.
It should be.
They should be that high.
It should be.
With this quarterback in his third year.
Listen.
I don't want to be talked down, Clarence.
No, I'm not talking you down. I'm talking you down. I'm giving you an omen. It's called the VY omen. I tweeted it right after the game.
Okay.
Do you remember in 2004 where VY was?
Yes, Rose Bowl.
He was at the Rose Bowl. And we just said, we'll be back.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
Oh, and you they think came Sam back. Sounded like that?
Okay.
He did.
Okay, listen to me. The Rose Bowl was in 2004. They played the Rose Bowl in 2004. The championship game the next year was where?
Rose Bowl.
Okay. You know where they played this year?
Sugar Bowl, New Orleans.
You know where the championship is next
is
year?
Is it New Orleans? Get out of here.
It's at the Sugar Bowl.
Get out of here.
It's at the Sugar Bowl.
And you know what I heard?
I didn't see your tweet. I'm all over this.
That's his BY Omen, I'm just telling you.
But here's the perk.
Listen, Plato's, it sounds just like him.
But here's the perfect
set. Did you
put
the two clips back to back?
I did not put the clips because it was before the clip. I just thought about it. I said, where's the game next year? And the game was in New Orleans.
Yes.
So I just put the fact that both had their shining moments at the bowl game.
The
year before, it's going to be the championship game.
Can I put the icing on the cake?
I'm in.
Yeah.
New Orleans, championship game next year, Texas versus Texas A&M.
We don't care if it's Aiden. We don't care about Daddy. We don't care about Daddy.
I just think that would be.
You know what I want? That'd be great. It would tear the state apart. It'd be awesome. I don't want to take down Alabama. That's what I want.
Yeah.
I want Texas to take down Alabama.
Look, I just want Texas to be there. Just be there.
Hey, Colin Johnson coming back.
There you go.
That's
love
right.
that.
That's right.
Hey, man. Will Kane, tomorrow, Texas Live in Arlington, 9 to 11 Central Time.
Come visit.
Get there early. Dude, always good seeing you.
Really appreciate you, fellas.